The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, gives me great pleasure to welcome Eilish O'Carroll to the show. My guest this week for the Thursday interview. Eilish, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you.
Have you been busy?
I have been busy.
What have you been doing?
Oh my God, what haven't I been doing?
A retiree like yourself. Yeah, you should have your feet up, Eilish.
I wish. But yeah, well, we did the live tour of Mrs. Brown's Boys before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And and we had a bit of a break, which was good because I think we finished in August or September, and then we went back in end of November to do the last few.
Yeah.
And there was an Irish tour as well, which was lovely. But in between that, I also did the Christmas specials.
Yeah.
Right. And in between that, I did a movie for Hallmark.
What was that like?
It was love. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was all done very, very quickly. I mean, the whole movie, I think, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
No, start to finish.
Yeah, start to finish.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Honestly, I mean,
And how long after you finished editing and post-production?
About 6 weeks. I reckon I saw the movie.
That's incredible.
Early January, which is really incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
They really turn them out, but they know how to turn them out, you know.
So did you watch it?
I did watch it.
Do you do that? Do you watch yourself on things?
I hate watching myself.
So why did you watch yourself in the Hallmark
movie?
Because
I was curious because you know, and I shouldn't be unkind to Hallmark because obviously it's a brilliant organisation and brilliant business and so on and so forth. And they really did look after me. It was absolutely fantastic. And I watched it and I thought, oh, it's very diddly-diddly Irish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
but they know what they're doing, Eilish.
I know they do.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
It's not people here that they want to watch it.
Exactly,
right? Yeah.
And there was a couple of lines that I thought, no. Now, even the Irish wouldn't say that. But I thought, do as you're told now. And
can you remember any?
I remember one line I had said, I have to say to this guy, oh, you look a very, very, very nice man. And I thought, no, don't think it would be like that. Really.
Okay.
And but it was fun to do.
Yeah.
As I say, it was only 3 weeks. I was only there for a few days to do my bit. And I think it started, 3 weeks start to finish. And then they literally, right, I was talking to the wardrobe people and the makeup, hair and makeup. They finished that on, I think we had the wrap party on the Friday. They finished that on the Friday and they were starting again on the Monday.
Wow.
Another movie.
So they just go from one movie to another.
Like
working on a TV. Basically, it's like working on a TV show for them.
It is like a TV show.
Yeah.
It is like a TV show. And the movie itself was only about an hour and 10 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes. You know?
And you probably find if you watch enough of them, like there's probably a scene by scene, they're probably mirror images, a lot of the movies of each other.
But they have apparently.
So that they can get it out
following.
Quickly.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if the people from Hallmark are listening, Eilish is telling me money is money. So listen, she's happy to work for you again. Don't worry about that.
I did enjoy it. And I mean, it was an Irish crew here who were doing it, which was lovely. It's great work. I mean, you know, it really is great work.
So, Wendy, because we're in the middle of the summer now, we're getting close to the middle of the summer. You wouldn't know it by the weather today.
No.
When do you film the Christmas specials for Mrs. Brown's Boys?
The Christmas special will happen next October.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, and we've just finished doing 4 episodes of a mini-series.
Yeah.
And that, we did that in May.
And do you still get the kick out of doing it all?
I love it. I mean, I actually do.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
And does everyone on set?
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair, you know, we're so lucky. This has been going over 25 years.
Mm.
I don't know of any play. I mean, it's been going nearly 15 years on the TV, right? And it's been travelling 25 years.
It's mad.
You know, in different, well, mainly Ireland and England. And we did Canada and we did Australia. For 3 times. So it has a lot of mileage. And love it or hate it, right, it's been very good to me. Agnes Brown has fed me and paid my mortgage for a lot of years. Thank you very much, Agnes.
But do you kind of live in dread, or was there a period where you lived in dread where Agnes would wake up one day, like Brendan would say, you know, I'm done?
Every year I thought, and I really mean this, every year I used to think, it can't happen. It just has to finish now.
Yeah.
There's no way we can go on and do another tour, or we can go on and do another series. But not true.
Yeah.
This last year, the one we've just done, which finished in November, December, packed houses.
Yeah.
Right? So we did Killarney, which we had never done before. We did, obviously, Belfast, and we had never done Derry. We did Derry in the very, very early days. So as a kind of gesture of goodwill as well. They were very good to us in Derry. You know, as a gesture, Brendan did, because they kept asking him, when are you coming back to Derry? But Derry is a small theatre, right?
Yeah.
In comparison. But Brendan said, no, we'll do it. And I think we did a week in Derry.
And if we had been speaking, say, 26 years ago, before Mrs. Brown's Boys, what was keeping you busy?
We were only doing about 16 weeks a year.
Yeah.
Right? And that was the only thing that was keeping me busy. And we'd go, it was mainly, we do the UK. And then we started doing, like, originally we started in Glasgow. And then he branched out and started doing other areas.
Yeah.
But very, very popular in the north of England. So very popular in Birmingham, in Newcastle, in Glasgow and Manchester, right? Hull was another one. So we did, and Newcastle was another. So we did really well. And of course, he'd four plays to choose from.
Had you any inkling back then what it was going to grow into?
Absolutely no.
And what? How did it, beyond, say, Brendan's work ethic and years as well, and everybody involved?
Yeah.
Like, what was it? You know, lots of things I'm sure are popular in the kind of old working men's clubs of the north of England or whatever,
exactly.
and they live and die there.
They never
go beyond it.
I think what's given it longevity is the fact that when it first aired, particularly on TV, and when we were touring as well, we were in the midst of a global recession. And the two things that sell well in a recession, comedy and nostalgia. And the nostalgia is obviously to comfort people.
Yes.
And comedy is obviously to give them a break from their worries and their, right? So I think that was the secret. That's why it kind of got the amount of people watching it. And right, so we were very surprised at the response in the UK, bearing in mind it was BBC who put it on, right? So we were really surprised. The first week, obviously, their phones never stopped on the radio. Terrible, shouldn't be, you know, that's not why I'm paying my licence. Same
but
here.
But it's easy now to look back and kind of laugh at that, you know, but at the time.
Yeah.
How did you deal with it?
At the time, like, you know, Brendan would say to us, don't read the critics.
Okay.
Whatever you do, don't read the critics.
Yeah.
Because critics don't act.
Yeah.
And they don't write. Right? They don't write plays. So he said, you'll not hear what you want to hear from the critics. So I never, ever read a critique. Honestly, I've never, for that reason, I think, you know, you're dead right.
Well, I've got them all here, so, here we go.
I know, you're better off not knowing. You really are better off not knowing. So the figures, the viewing figures are the proof.
Yeah.
And the first 2 weeks in Ireland, we thought, they're going to pull it, right? Because there were so many complaints. But by the third week, we had more viewers than the Late Late Show, right? Now, that's amazing.
Yeah. Right?
And the same with England. We had more viewers. It just kept building and building. And the very first Christmas, right, the Christmas year that we did Christmas specials, wow, we had more viewers than the Queen.
How much did this, has the experience of those last 15 years changed your life, your own life, off stage?
Yeah, well, in terms obviously of it changed my life financially.
Everything. Yeah.
Right? Because it gave
loaded.
Yeah. It gave me a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And I'm not loaded, right? But I'm very happy, right? Because when it started, I was very heavily in debt. And I thought, you know, I'm never going to get
normal debt, like mortgages and stuff,
or
extra stuff as well.
I think before I started working for Brendan, I was actually unemployed, right?
Yeah.
Desperately trying to get a job in West Cork. Absolutely no chance of that. And then we went on the road. Now, because 16 weeks a year did not keep the mortgage, the roof over my head.
Yeah.
Somehow I survived, I managed. And I had a lovely little cottage at the time. I used to let it out in the summertime. And that would help supplement the mortgage. So I made things, you know, because if I can't get a job, what can I do in my work? And, you know, again, the Celtic Tiger had taken a holiday, died, he's gone. So house properties had actually dropped. So I couldn't even sell it. If I sold it, I was selling it at a loss. So I was still actually, in debt. So, yeah, but eventually I got, I'm very proud of myself because I got there.
Yeah.
I actually got there.
But you stuck with it. You see, I wouldn't be like, you know, I couldn't handle that uncertainty. Yeah. You know that some people can't. I'd go out and get a job, even if it was in the local garden centre,
just so I knew what
was coming.
If I'd lived in Dublin at the time, I would have had a better opportunity getting work, whether it be Tesco's or, you know, a job that would pay me.
But that might have been worse in the long run.
Yeah, exactly. That could have been, and I could have said, no, Brendan, for 12 weeks a year, 14 weeks a year.
Yeah, I'll stay here in Tesco,
Right?
Yourself and Mary Byrne could have been working in Tesco.
So in that respect, right, I was living in West Cork, wasn't going to get a job down there, couldn't get out of it, couldn't move. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to survive. Right, and I did survive. So when things started to get, things really started to get better once it went on TV.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of, people became very, very aware of it. So we went from playing in theatres to playing in arenas. Right.
Yeah.
That was like, now we didn't get any more work per year. We were working, say, maybe about 12 to 16 weeks a year. Some years it was 12, some weeks it was 16, but we were getting paid better money.
Yeah.
Right. And that made, and I was able to live on the money that I was being paid. Even when I wasn't working. So yeah, I was very, very, very fortunate.
You'd desperately miss it if it was gone.
Oh God. Yeah, absolutely. And as I say, every year I'm expecting Brendan to go, you know, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
And I know he's tired. He is tired. But he's
How old is Brendan
addicted.
Now?
He'll be 70 this year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Same age as my dad. My dad's 70 today.
There you go, is he?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Dad.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's 70 this year. And I actually think he is tired. But he's also addicted to... It's the comedian in him. And... the laughter. He's addicted to the laughter. He's addicted to making people laugh. And he worries every time that when he goes on, they're not going to laugh. Like he's like,
does he still have that?
He still has that. You go, Jesus, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling a bit, you know, and they'll be fine. They'll be absolutely fine. And they have been. And you can see it in them. You can see the energy and the adrenaline when they actually do start the very first laughter. He then really kicks in.
Yeah.
That's when he really ad-libs. He's comfortable. It just goes on. And
yeah.
It's good.
Did you always get on as well as you do, yourself and Brendan? Because you were beside each other in the family, weren't you?
He's the youngest boy. I was the youngest girl.
Yeah.
Right. So we always did get on. And when we were teenagers, like we used to enter competitions, talent competitions. He'd get up and tell jokes. I'd get up and sing, right? And... like, we might earn 2 and 6.
Yeah, yeah.
The bus fare home, right? And but it was great fun and we loved doing it. We loved entertaining. And we came from a large family. So there was a lot of entertainment anyways. You know, Irish families tend to create their own theatre.
But was that encouraged at home, yourself
totally,
and Brendan, to go out and do it?
Absolutely, totally. Yeah.
There was no kind of get a real job.
Well, Brendan did get a real job. I mean, you see, and so did I. Like fame, success didn't hit Brendan until his 40s.
Yeah.
Right? So he'd been really banging at, you know, doing stand-up comedy, but he wasn't doing it as a living.
Yeah, he had a public profile. I remember Brendan my whole life.
Yes.
And
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he was, you know, you'd see him on the TV and he'd be doing bits.
Oh, absolutely.
But they were never enough to pay a mortgage.
Never enough to pay a mortgage. And I mean, it started, I think what happened for him was the Late Late Show, right? And because he had this radio program, and he also had this, a blind date, I think he used to call it, in one of the pubs in Dublin.
Yeah.
And the producers for The Late Late Show had said, look, we need to get this guy in. Dublin guy, very, very funny, apparently. But he's also very crude, rude and lewd, right? So, and you know, gay, no swearing.
Yes, exactly.
So
yeah.
Eventually, anyway, Gay gave way and said, yeah, okay, we'll have him on the show, yeah. Right? And I remember him, I wish I'd recorded the programme. And I remember Brendan talking to me on the Monday. He'd gone out on this. I think that the Late Late Show used to be on a Saturday in those days. But it had gone out and he rang me on the Monday. And I said, you know, because I was living in England at the time. I said, so how did it go? He said, oh. He said, you know, I couldn't swear. Yeah. Could not swear. And he said, and I kept wanting to say. But he said, I held back. He said, I was told I was going to be on for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was on for half an hour. The phones went crazy because people were phoning saying, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Right. And he said, I was on for half an hour. And Gay loved me. He said, that means a lot, Eilish. If Gay Byrne loves you,
yes,
you're made.
You're
right?
In.
And he said, now this was on the Monday. He said, Friday night, he said, I did a gig for 500. Now he used to do a gig himself and his outrageous comedy band. So there was not just him for this 500. And he said, and I just got booked for $3,000. That was after the late.
So six time increase.
That's when it really turned for him. And he could actually say, well, look, I can really make a living out of this. And then he wrote his books.
Yeah.
And they were very successful. And he wrote his plays. So, yeah, it's just he got the break. And I think once he got the break, he did it.
Yeah. Well, listen, 70 years young this year. He'll keep going for another few years.
Absolutely.
He'll keep going, Eilish.
Absolutely.
Listen, it's great to see you.
Great to talk to you.
Yeah.
Right? And happy birthday again to your dad.
Yes, happy right? birthday. Happy birthday. Eilish O'Carroll.
Life begins at 73.
Exactly. There you go.
You know that.
There you go.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.